Welcome back, folks. We are proud to be sponsored by CBD Vermont. They believe that healthy soils, strong local economies, and plant-based wellness go hand in hand in hand. That's why they work with organic farmers across Vermont to grow the highest quality hemp and produce full-spectrum CBD extracts for wholesale. They've recently launched an online store where you can buy Vermont-made CBD products, including oils, capsules, edibles, and topicals that have been fully vetted by the staff at CBD Vermont. What a cool gig. I want to be a CBD vetter, an Eddie vetter. They ship everywhere. And as huge music fans, they're offering our listeners 15% off all products. So go to cbdvermont.com and use the code AMIGOS, plural, AMIGOS, at checkout to get 15% off. That's cbdvermont.com. Use the code AMIGOS for 15% off.
Hey there, this is Kyle Hollingsworth. You're listening to Amigos with Mike Fenoya on the Osiris Network.
Folks, today's episode is brought to you by SiriusXM Satellite Radio. You may already know that SiriusXM brings you the deepest variety of commercial-free music for every genre and for every mood. That's where you hear the biggest names in talk, entertainment and comedy, and hundreds of hand-curated music channels designed to fit every mood. It's where you get news from every source. It's where you can listen to the newly launched Fish Radio. Woo! In addition to Jam On, the Grateful Dead Radio, Pearl Jam Radio, Tom Petty Radio, and many more. It's where you can listen to top comedy channels such as Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio and Netflix Is a Joke Radio, and sports talk radio from Barstool to ESPN and more to keep you up to date on the latest news in the sports world. Most people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. Subscribe now and listen outside the car, on your phone, online, and at home. And get your first 3 months for just a dollar. Visit SiriusXM.com/Amigos, AMIGOS, to see offer details and to subscribe and start listening today. That's SiriusXM, no car required. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Amigos. This is your host, Mike Fenoya. I hope you guys are doing great. We're counting down to Dick's. We're going back on Fish Tour. And while I'm out in Colorado, I'm going to be at Comedy Works in Greenwood Village the Tuesday after Fish, September 3rd. You go to MikeFenoya.com for information about that in comedyworks.com for tickets. And as always, everybody, at Mike Fenoya, F-I-N-O-I-A, on Twitter and Instagram, at Amigos Pod on Twitter and Instagram, Mike Fenoya on Spotify. Check out Poncho Mike's playlist. I got a lot of shit out there for you. I'm working my fucking ass off for you people. You fucking people. You even appreciating it? Imagine if that's what this was, like just a podcast where you like put, you fucking people, huh? Today on the podcast, I have Claw Money, Claudia Gold, what a hilarious, hilarious human being, and an entrepreneur, a business owner. She is a groundbreaking female graffiti artist and just a cool sumbitch, let me tell you. And we have a great chat about New York City in the 90s, where she was coming up as a secret graffiti artist tagger, I guess you would say that, and you know, just her path and her fights and her struggles and stuff like that. And she's just so fun and so cool, and I really hope you enjoy it. And it's unique, it's a different take. Not all Amigos are Fish fans, so that's what the new saying is going to be. Sometimes you get sick of talking about those four guys from Burlington, but I'm excited to go see them at Dick's. Are you going to Dick's? Let's meet up. Let's have an Amigos hang. So hit me up at the Facebook discussion group or amigospod@gmail.com with any questions. We're going to start handling some, getting back to doing questions. I got a bunch of questions in my inbox from listeners, and we're going to release them soon. I'm going to answer them per episode. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you on the flip. Peace out.
Osiris.
A very talented New York City graffiti artist turned fashion designer, Claw Money, Claudia Gold. What's up?
What's up?
You know, that's what your press shit says.
I thought I'm like number one memer in the land.
Number one memer. What's a memer?
A meme lord.
A meme lord?
A meme lord.
Meme lord?
Meme.
You meme? Are you a memer? Is that your
yeah,
your favorite thing to do now?
I fucking love memes. They're so fun.
What do you like about them?
I like how they sort of spread and how they mutate and how they sort of take a life of their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
You like the internet?
I both love and hate the internet.
I fucking hate the internet.
Do you?
I don't like it. I hate that it's something that I have to do. That's what it is.
It's a job, comic, for sure.
And I'm not good at it, and I'm not good at, like, keeping attention on things, and I kind of just like to... I just want to tell jokes and be funny, and I hate that I have to, like, do shit online.
So, what do you have to do online? I'm going to interview you.
No, let's do it, please.
What do you have to do online as a comic? Do you have to constantly...
Brand rec- I mean, if you think about, you know, Main Street USA, right? We'll call that the internet.
Sure.
That we're all owners of a small business,
mm-hmm.
and you got to keep your product fresh in the window, and you got to keep your, keep putting new stuff out there and... attract and retain.
You're a merchant.
I'm a merchant, and I don't want to be a merchant. I just want to be a song and dance man and tell jokes. And
I get it.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, you think about the old days, it must have been pretty hard to be a performer and, like, shit, man, like Richard Pryor and, like, my jazz musicians, they used to just, like, go on the road and, like, something would show up in the local newspaper.
Right, how do you infiltrate into the culture? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's good for that
of
if
course.
You embrace it and like it. But I also admit my shortcomings. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not good at, like, I have to learn a fucking app. Like, go to hell.
It's super annoying, for sure. And it's a job that sometimes you just don't want to have. But if you're somebody who's in the business of selling oneself,
yeah.
having the internet follow you and watch you is a great thing.
You know what else is good? Interns.
Interns are the best. Anything with an INT, we'll take it. International, like, House of Pancakes?
International House of Pancakes. Interpol.
Interpol.
International Police.
Or the band. Remember them?
Yeah, they're really good too. they were a little hipster, and I kind of tend to, like, hate first, love later. Do you do that? Do you love what you love, and then, like, you kind of go, ugh, I don't have time in my brain for a new thing? And then you hear it and you go, this is great.
Well, yeah. You know, your tastes change depending on your mood.
Totally.
Right?
Did you listen to anything today?
No. Today, just I've been listening to podcasts today.
Have you?
Yeah.
What were you listening to?
I was listening to, like, my podcast.
Yeah?
And, yes, so I have a podcast.
Yeah, plug
whatever,
it.
Who doesn't? It's called Gold Mines with Claudia Gold.
Yeah, that's you.
And I'm talking about how subcultures turn from small to big and how they sort of, a lot of them are birthed here in New York City and then they turn into, like, a global phenomenon.
Sure.
So I like to talk to a lot of the unsung heroes, the mothers and fathers of this
of
different
subs cultures.
Of subsect culture of cultures and how, you know, the community supports them, doesn't support them, how they sort of feel about the way the world is now.
Do you focus on any particular genre? Is it music? Is it art? Is it skateboarding? Is it drugs?
So it's all of that except for the drugs. I like to keep it
clean.
Keep it clean. You know what I mean?
So no SES?
No, I don't want to bring any heat onto my peoples.
Oh, no, of course. So you're talking straight up legit underground.
Oh, yeah, like real underground. So I interview a lot of graffiti artists.
Underground culture.
Right.
Like,
So DJing?
Right. So music? I had Clark Kent, DJ really? Clark Kent, on was on our first episode. I had A-Track.
Wow.
Because
New York's so fascinating.
Yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
Fascinating. Yeah. Incredibly interesting graffiti artists that do all sorts of things to sort of like propagate the culture in different ways. Mm-hmm. I talk to photographers and, you know,
yeah,
people that
do you talk to comedians. We're pretty effing.
I need to talk to comedians.
I know one.
All right. You'll be on my podcast.
Sure.
Love Subculture to. King?
Yeah, Subculture King will call me. I love street art so much, and I'm amazed at how it's done and when it's done. And it's like a night art, I feel like, sometimes.
It is the art of the night.
It's the art of the night. So is comedy. Yes. So there will be times when I'm leaving the West Village at like, whatever, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning to get back to Astoria. And I'm like driving by and I see like under the cover of a canopy with a
somebody,
light
right?
underneath.
Somebody doing a little something.
And I'm like, this, I can't wait to see what this is tomorrow.
You're like, what rodent was that?
What rodent? Jesus Christ. I'm going to remember. Let's start with you.
Okay.
Okay. You grew up here.
I did.
In Alphabet City?
No, I didn't grow
We're
up in
We're in East Village of Manhattan right now, listeners.
Shout out to the EV. I rep EV. The EV.
I lived on 2nd Ave and 5th for a couple years.
You did?
Yeah,
did
police block.
Yes.
Which was nice because I had a car, so I could park there for weeks without moving my car.
Really? Were they like your homies?
No.
You had a plaque
them.
Or anything?
No, what
no,
it was,
just,
was
there was no
they,
street. There was no street sweeping on that block.
Essentially what they did was they told the brownies. So the cops call the
Girl Scouts?
No, I wish. They came to deliver our cookies, and they're like, "You get the f off." No, it was.
They're like, "He's got a spot." Okay.
No, I guess the cops that do the you know whatever the meter parking cops, meter maids or whatever the hell.
Day ruiners, I call them.
Day ruiners are right. Grumpy people. Oh. I call them wet fireworks.
Losers.
And they told them, "We'll tell you when you're going to sweep our street," and because we're the cops and whatever. So they would, because their personal vehicles were getting ticketed. So I just said, hey, don't mind if I do. And I had a car in the East Village for like 4 years, and it was the most unbelievable thing in the world.
Well, having a car in East Village, and maybe we shouldn't say it because it's a very unknown secret, but it's very easy to park over
it's
here.
It's not that bad.
And if you can get into the rhythm of the... You know, move your car
yep.
and sort of stay local while your car is double parked.
Yep, you're good.
You're living.
You are living.
You're living.
Yeah, and you know what?
Can I tell you? Yeah.
I got to know my neighbors on Mondays and Thursday mornings from 8:30 to 10 because we would go sometimes sit out when they would sweep the street.
Yeah.
We had to sit in our cars and move over.
Oh, honey, while I know.
And then you back right into your old spot. But I would like get to know... My neighbors.
But,
I almost thought it would be a good idea for a TV show.
But I'll tell you, because I would know my neighbors too, but it's at the time when I lived in the East Village, I had like, okay, so I had to park and do my parking.
Yep.
And all these people would talk about was like, hey, did you hear Bob got a ticket? Like, oh my God. Oh. Right. And then I would go to the dog part with my dog and they'd be like, oh, did you hear like Candy's dog bit blah, blah, blah. And I... Like, hey, you want to go to dinner? I'm like, God, no,
I don't.
It's
going to be food talk.
Yeah, like, yeah, no, I'm afraid we're going to have dog talk at dinner. And like, I just
chicken bone.
I can't. So, yeah, I couldn't talk about anything but car-related, ticket-related situations when parking with your neighbors and dog stuff at the dog park.
The city blows me away because there's, I live now in Astoria, near Long Island City. And I have a neighbor. Every neighborhood is legitimately so unique and so different. It's like you took a whole state and you whittled it down to in size to fit this island. And every single block, every single street has their little like subtlety
flavor.
And nuance
sure,
and flavor.
Sure.
There's a guy in my neighborhood now. I'm in one of those neighborhoods in Queens where it's like apartment building, house,
mm-hmm.
apartment building, two houses, whatever. And the people that have driveways like rent their... driveway space to people and whatever, $200 a month to fucking park.
Sure.
This guy is at war with the birds. like with just the whole species of animal. So anytime a bird...
Because he wants a clean car.
Well, he wants a clean street. I don't even think he owns a car. But like he's this old guy. He doesn't speak English. And he has a broom that's got like no more bristles. And anytime a bird lands on the street, he's like, motherfucker, son of a bitch. Like he's just like old time mumble swearing. And he runs out and tries to fight the bird off the street.
You know, everyone needs a hobby.
But meanwhile, that's his meme. Like, I mean... That's his meme. But I just sit there and watch him. And I'm like, I am in ship shape. Mentally,
I mean, you better not drop a crumb.
No. What was it like growing up here? What years were you living here in the Apple?
So I'm originally from Queens.
Oh, you are
from Fresh Meadows.
Oh, nice.
More central Queens,
sure.
Than
Astoria.
Astoria's northern Queens. I'm gonna say
it's western.
Western.
It's the closest Yeehaw. Place to Manhattan.
Right.
Right. I'm on the I'm on
right, the
Broadway.
Right, the NNR. Just
NNR. When it's working. Which is never.
All the lines. Shout out to all the lines not working. Hey.
Yeah, fucking city stinks.
Then I moved to Long Island to go to junior high and high school.
Whoa.
And then I couldn't wait to get the fuck out of there. And I came to Manhattan to go to FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology.
The one and only.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
For art right away? Or did you want to be a clothing designer?
Yeah, I wanted to be a clothing designer. I went to school for fashion illustration.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So when did you first, were you tagging?
So I
was. Before
it was cool? Yeah, I was tagging when everyone hated, even like the old graffiti writers hated it.
Were you doodling on your notebook and shit? Were
you
writing Kiss and
I was
Led
writing,
Zeppelin? And...
Yes, and Claw.
And Claw.
Right. So
away you were Claw.
Right. I've been Claw since I was very young.
So let's tell everybody who's listening what Claw's your name.
My God given name is Claudia.
Yeah.
From God gave that to me, not even my mom.
She shall be named Claudia.
Which, believe it or not, means lame. And like I told you, I just broke my leg and shattered my kneecap. And
on the subway.
I have a limp. Anyway.
Well, look, I broke my arm really bad. So,
look at you.
We make one. We make one
twinnies.
Whole person.
We're
twinning.
And I started going to college, and I started writing graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in Chelsea, and then I moved to the Upper West Side,
Snorville.
But it was awesome. It was really like an awesome time up there. It was cheap and. Columbia didn't own everything. It was still kind of grimy.
Really?
Families and griminess like mixed together.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. It was...
Yeah, dirty children.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it was like clean children and other different elements of grime.
You know what I almost kind of like really enjoy about the Upper West is there's like an authenticity to their homeless. It's like they've been up there for a long time.
They're OGs.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they that's their... You know, you go to St. Mark's and it's these dingbats with
they're new jacks,
stolen pit bulls
newbies.
That have parents in like Westport, Connecticut.
Well, it's just the homeless situation is so terrible and so sad and so and it's not even that bad here comparatively.
No, other
right?
Places are,
Los
I mean,
Angeles
Portland,
is being
Oregon,
right.
Denver's terrible.
Seattle,
yeah,
right.
Warm weather places like Denver, 300 days of sunshine. That's real bad. When I was out there recently. There were two local ballots to vote on. One was decriminalizing mushrooms, which passed.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was they wanted to build tiny homes for the homeless.
But they don't want them in their neighborhood. That's the problem.
It's also like, but you're, then you're just kind of like saying, like, here's essentially a doghouse for you. You don't have to do like.
But it's better than living under a park.
I don't
like,
know what it is. I don't know what.
What do we do though? It's a huge problem.
It's a huge problem. You know, Tompkins Square Park, huge history with homeless, and it's a very interesting. There's anything you can read about that park is wild.
Well, I was around for all that.
Yeah.
Really,
it was like this neighborhood. The East Village is very.
You didn't walk through that park at night. So when I moved down to downtown, I guess in the early 90s, I moved to 6th Street. Shout out. So I lived between 1st and 2nd.
Oh, man, one block up from where I lived, 5th.
Sweet, yeah. Sweet 6th Street, the Indian restaurant.
Sure.
I don't think there's Indian restaurants exclusively anymore. That's what it was.
Right, yeah. Right across from
and the East Village was rough, but it was cheap and you could afford to live here, and it was its own little weird village. It was awesome.
Yeah. St. Mark's was punk city.
Was punk city, and then they like built that gap and everything changed.
So what music was like hot at that time? Like what were you like when you were living down here in the East Village? Because I always picture the East Village being like where all the cool stuff started.
It was well, there was like grunge was like big in America, but there was this sort of 90s punk rock New York City thing going on with the Goops and Clowns for Progress and
sure
D-Generation and
yeah
the Lunatics and
yeah
that shit was fun.
Would you go check out shows a bunch?
Yeah, and then I used to bartend at the only like places to go in the early 90s, which were two different bars on Avenue A. One was called Notel Motel and one was called Babyland. They were both owned and managed by Deb Parker, who's mm-hmm. sort of like my feminist hero mentor.
Yeah.
And that was my
boss. Business owner. Yeah.
And, but, so I was bartending, writing graffiti, getting into lots of trouble, going out to hear music.
Nice.
And
how
I would say
you?
Like I was in my 20s, in my early 20s in the 90s. And that was, in retrospect, that was sort of like the last of the wild times. I mean, I think people still have wild times.
Pre-internet.
But yes. And I think the idea of just being free and not so performative. Right now, sort of like you go to clubs and nobody's dancing, but you pull the cameras out and all of a sudden they start dancing.
Sure.
It was
sure.
sort of like,
that's a good point.
Don't fucking take a picture of me. I'm fucking dancing.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes. That's like, so true.
Right? You're
about,
like,
I think about growing up and like, you know.
Where are you from?
I'm from New Haven, Connecticut. And then I moved out to Denver for a while and came back. But
very white of you.
I know. I ran away to Denver because Kerouac ran away to Denver. That's why.
Ah, okay.
I worked at a car wash when I was, I'm not like wealthy Connecticut. I'm like not at
no
all.
No Muffy?
No. I worked for the Muffies. I did like landscaping, worked at a, I'm blue collar, you know, I'm the first one in my family to go to college, all that. My folks had me when they were like 18.
Eight.
So it was, yeah.
Yeah.
My mom was, yeah. I'm older than my mother. But no, I used to come down all the time. I used to come, like, hop on the train and come to the city. And I remember being, like, in the subway when there was graffiti in the subway.
Yeah.
And that's so cool. I miss that part of, you know, now there's, like, weird ads on the trains for.
It's weird because, you know, if you think about it, what people didn't like that it was, like, you're in this dark coffin underground with like sort of these like bad vibes. I think that's why.
But that's, I guess, perception is reality.
Right.
I remember being a little kid.
Well, when you would see like the huge, beautiful pieces on the train, but I think people hated the tags, the scrawls.
See, yeah, maybe.
Not you, because you were a child and of course you love it. It's the coolest shit ever.
Well, and also because I could never do it. I'm a very, I could play guitar. I could do stand up. I can write. I'm not artistically, I just can't do it, and I'm so jealous. Like I have a try. I'm not one of those people. Like I can't even draw. Like if you said draw a Christmas tree, it would just be like triangles and a box on the bottom. Like I'm not
that works.
Good at, yeah, but it sucks. I'm not. I know my bad. You know.
So they say that drawing is just like reading and writing, and if it's nurtured at a young age, where it becomes just this like.
Sure.
Visual language.
Yep.
Repetitiveness, right?
Yeah.
That you and everyone can do it.
I'm
but
sure.
But it's just like, you know,
practice.
If that's something, right, that wasn't sort of instilled in you when you were young, you might not have the proclivity for it.
Yes. Great. That's a good word. Mm-hmm. Proclivity. So
Connecticut, like, you know, I'm trying to.
Proclivity. That was my my sister's name is Proclivity.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody picks up their first you know, their guitar, their first baseball bat, whatever, smoke their first cigarette. When'd you first do graffiti? Was it you alone? Were you with buddies?
So I think it was a night of clubbing. I came out, everybody's outside smoking weed or something, and someone pulled out a can they just passed it from one person to one person to one person to one person, and they didn't pass it to me. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm Claw. Duh. Like,
were you Claw?
I was just Claw. It was my name. Right. So Claw was my nickname.
But you're all over. I could see at home you had pieces of paper that said Claw 80 times.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. But no one knew you were Claw out in the streets yet.
Right. I didn't even know.
That's what
it was
I mean.
A secret. It was a secret, right?
Yeah.
Was,
God didn't tell you yet.
It was a seed that was hatching.
Okay.
Right. So I just was like, oh my God, I'm the Claw. Of course I should be writing graffiti. And I think everyone's reaction of like, ugh, no, no, no. Step back. Go bake some muffins. Get out of here. Kind of.
Because you were a woman?
Because I was a woman.
But were
that
you the only woman outside at that time?
No, there were other women, but I think there were few and far between, though. You
gotcha.
Know what I mean?
Okay, all right, I hear you.
A bunch of newbie chicks. It wasn't like a nobody wanted to write graffiti with me. Nobody wanted to really sort of like nurture that in me. So I was writing by myself, and then one day, my friend said, "I'm going to take you out painting because you." You don't know what you're doing, basically.
Really?
I mean, in a nice way. I don't think he's, you know what I mean? But yeah. I'm sure that's what.
I'm going to take you out painting.
And we're going to go.
By the dark of night.
Right, by the dark night. And it was like fun and exciting. And like, here, hit this spot because you can see it from here. Like all this stuff that I didn't know or
sure.
consider. Or, and then I was hooked.
That's that you were hooked right away.
Yeah.
You know, it's very funny that they're like every underground thing, any new world that you step into, you kind of need that person to be like, well, that comedy club, that booker's kind of a dick. You don't really want to go there. But that bar has shows on Wednesday nights and you could do 10 minutes. And then this place, you know, you have to audition and you can. With your friend that's like, if you hit right there on that wall.
They're a comedy booker. They're like my booker.
Well, yeah. And it's like a mentor. Like I've had.
For sure.
When I first 100%. Moved down here, it was like I had an elder statesman. That was basically like, I'm going to bring you to this club and this club and get you in to introduce you to here.
That's what you do. You're a literal piece of shit if you don't do that.
Well, you have to help everybody.
I mean, you have to.
You know
to
what
help.
I mean?
Right.
But I'm so fascinated by this, like, you know, all right, so it's nighttime and it's 1990 or whatever. And we're in Alphabet City or the East Village.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all these virgin brick walls. Okay. How do you choose? Is there territory? Is there turf? Can you like go?
Well, it is kind of weird, like turf territory gang shit. Like it, like I didn't think it was at the time, but
yeah,
now when I look back.
That's fascinating to me. What was it like?
Well, I had a complete advantage because no one had any idea that I was a woman. I didn't choose an overtly feminine name or put lady in front of it and draw hearts,
like
and I did
pink nail polish or
right,
anything like that.
And I did it on purpose to sort of, it also seemed like aggressive and sort of masculine.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of didn't paint on a virgin brick wall because it was just either cleaned or they keep it clean. So you look for something that already has graffiti that's been there.
Oh.
Because then, right, you're like, oh, I have a chance of living here.
Got it.
Right?
Yeah.
And of course, you start off and you write over people you shouldn't be writing over because you just don't read it or see it or know it or understand the way it works. But you learn pretty fast.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's retaliation like? They just paint over yours?
Yeah, and then you like seek out their things and like rag them.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
Did it ever get physical? Does it get physical?
Yeah, it gets physical.
Really?
For sure.
Fuck.
And that's the thing that is sort of like weighs so heavy on me is because like I'm in like crews, right?
Sure.
It's like a basketball team. And this is not only something that like women are relegated to, but it's not my position to be fighting my fight.
Sure.
So somebody else has to fight my fight. So I have to make sure that this fight is worthy of like putting my friend up, like, you know what I mean?
I hear you. Yeah.
So I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, let's
work this out.
When were you born? I don't know what it means.
I'm a Sagittarius.
Yeah, what's that mean?
I'm just the best, whatever. What can I say?
Are you? I don't know what any of that shit means.
Whatever. I just felt like it was a good time to ask.
You know how sometimes there's a good time to ask a question?
I was born at 3:41 in the afternoon. I mean, it's the God hour. Whatever.
I was born at 9:40 in the morning.
Really?
The devil's hour.
I mean, obviously, you have problems.
Hell, Satan. So you get your first, so you go out, you get your first tag down.
Yeah, you get your tags, right? And then you start developing more, and then you have this thing called like a throw up, which is like a two-color kind of like bubble letter.
Okay.
So I was doing those all over town. And then I said, oh, wouldn't that be cute? And it was very much like my scrawling on my sixth grade notebook. Like denim notebook, yeah. Right? On my three-ring binder.
Yeah, your trapper keeper. Yeah.
Very like junior high Long Island girl bubble letters.
Okay.
You know, it could have had like a bunny right
yeah,
there.
Gem and the
right?
Holograms so like, type shit.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Claw. And then I started adding the nails to my W.
Okay.
And when I started writing graffiti, the trains had stopped. Any train that had paint on it, they took it out of service. They cleaned it. They were not running anything with any graffiti.
Who
on
was
it.
That was in charge at the time? Was
I believe it was like Koch, and then Julie. And then it shifted to Dinkins. Dinkins was a good era for graffiti, but they were still really like crazy about the subways in particular. So everybody like moved on to the streets that were kind of. A lot of the subway guys were like, yo, if you didn't write on subways, then you ain't shit. You didn't get up. Graffiti's dead.
Yeah,
like,
it's kind of like
off.
That old school thing. Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
So when I started writing in the streets, the subways were done. We were painting on trucks because they moved around.
Oh, yeah.
So I would go into a truck yard and instead of, you know, being able to do one or two claws, I would do, you know, 30 claws on these trucks.
So
you know?
Go into a truck yard. So right. like a wholesale, like a food delivery business or whatever, you would just
right
go
there's
in at
like
night.
So there would be like these big truck yards. There was one on Delancey, there was one on Houston. You had to like climb over the fence. And
what are you wearing? Black jeans and like a black turtleneck?
No, just like I'm just me, and I probably like shorts and a t-shirt and some sneakers and like a baseball cap or something. My bun, like my hair tucked into a bun or something.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm like painting all the trucks, and some guy decided he hated me and he went and started ragging all my trucks, and he sort of just left the W out.
Ooh.
And one of these trucks like drove by. I was like, oh, you could see the truck and you're like, oh, I recognize that thing on the front. That's my truck. I'm going to stand here and wait for my truck to drive by. And I saw that like the whole thing like scrawled out in front and the W was hanging out. Just a little paw with the nails.
Claws, yeah.
And I was like, there she is.
Amazing.
And so then I sort of...
You had an epiphany. You saw your own thing go by.
Right. I was pissed. And then I was like, actually, this is a gift.
Yeah.
And that's how I like to look at life.
Yeah. Totally.
Right?
We're all dented cans. You
totally.
Know? Yeah. Absolutely. That's so cool.
So then I just... I got this new sort of... icon, and I just was like, oh, this is very mysterious.
Yeah.
And it's my actual, it's my name. My name is Claudia. Claw, yeah. Right?
Perfect.
And but I don't have to write letters. And then I started noticing my friends that had like young kids could identify it. They couldn't see anything else, but they could see the claw. And I realized that people could easily digest it visually.
Sure.
So I just started going crazy.
Clawing it up. And then it was that claw ended up all over the city, huh?
All over the place.
How long would it take you, like start to finish, if you were going to do a normal size claw? Like you get in, you're doing a truck. How fast can you bang out a claw?
So I was very systematic. I'm very frugal with my time. So I'm doing the first color and then I'm letting it dry and I'm going somewhere else. So I'm doing the first color over there. And when it's dry, so you don't get drips.
Sure.
Then, you know, 5-10 minutes later, you go and you finish it up. But if it was to dry immediately, I could probably do it under 2 minutes. Like back then. Now
sure.
I'm like, you know, I'm an artist now. Okay.
Every claw's got to be, every nail's got to be a different color. And so this is in the early to mid 90s?
Early to mid 90s.
Okay. So you're like, this is my stamp on the world.
Right.
What do I do with it?
You
know what I mean?
I'm just doing that. I'm working in bars and nightclubs. I'm making.
You're like a superhero.
I'm making crazy clothes. I was very well protected, very insulated. People I had by
friends.
My friends, my crew, where I bartended. So I would have beef with these guys, and they would call up and they'd be like, "You know, God's a graffiti writer." Blah, blah, blah. And my boss would be like, "Yeah, bye."
Wow.
And like,
really?
So yeah. So if there were like problems, I could sort of like run into any bar downtown. Like
you physically felt like scared for yourself?
Yeah. I mean, there would be situations you'd be like, "Oh my God, that guy knows it's me."
Other
like,
artists.
Oh yeah. Well, not other artists, other graffiti writers that I have problems with.
Fuck.
Or my friends have problems with. It's just like that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So you had to like look over your.
You had to look over your shoulder.
Did you live alone or did you have roommates?
No, I lived alone.
What the hell was rent in the...
Like $450 for like a railroad apartment. Like a
one-bedroom or studio.
A one-bedroom railroad apartment with three divisional rooms. Yes, my shower was in the kitchen.
That's
and
fine.
My toilet was in the living room, but enclosed. They were both enclosed.
That's why you didn't have any company. That's why you never have company over when you have a railroad apartment.
I remember my parents coming over and me being like, I got to take a shower. And then they're like,
can you go stand in the hallway?
Like they're in the living,
Can I tell you a funny railroad apartment story?
Sure.
One time, it was 3rd of July. I came down from Connecticut to see a buddy's old college roommate, and we went out drinking, and we were really going for it. And we were young. It was a crazy night. I woke up with it was a railroad apartment. I'm on the couch, so hungover, 100 degrees. Mouth feels like I was sucking on pennies all night, you know, when you're chain smoking cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and there's a pint glass of clear liquid next to me. And I'm like, oh, thank God I got water last night before I went to bed. And I like chugged down like three big guzzles of this and that I thought was water. And it was just a cup of hot vodka. And I guess I had like walked out of the bar with it the night before and just brought it back. And the minute I like got the first like gulp down, I started to get the puke drool and sweat.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I started to puke all the way through the railroad apartment. So, like, his bathroom was, like, way at the end of it. So I had to, like,
I
vomited through from the living room to the kitchen, through his bedroom.
It was like the Nile River.
It was literally, yeah, like when there was, like, a break in a hose and everything was just the Nile River. It was really bad. It was the worst. But, yeah, railroad.
Hot vodka.
So $400. Wow. Okay, so you're living alone. You're bartending, killing it. Bartenders are, like,
making
recession-proof.
So much money, right.
And you got these other graffiti artists that are like...
Right, so then I had a huge, like, I had this crazy amount of beef. The cops were after me, all this stuff. So I, like, booked out to Cali because I had some peeps there.
Really?
Right?
How'd you get there?
I took a plane like a normal
person. Oh, I didn't know if maybe you... I don't know if you rode the rails. So
I'm
far,
like,
you're
hey,
a rebel.
I'm going to come out. Can I stay at your place for a while? I want to, like, get, like, my shit together over there. Like, what's up?
Where in Cali? San Fran?
No, I went to Los Angeles. I went to Los Feliz, but I stayed with a friend for about a month, and then I tried to get these cool like bartending gigs. And the crazy thing out there back then, this is like 95, was that for $550, you could get like a house.
Right. You have a yard. It comes with a family.
A yard with a fucking driveway and like
this
all
place
these
stinks in that way.
Insane built-in closets with shelves and drawers and like.
I love that you said drawers. I say drawers too. Everyone makes fun of me because I don't say drawers.
Is that how are you supposed to?
Drawer is how it's
drawers.
Spelled. But it's drawers.
It's drawers.
I say drawers. I fucking okay. You have a fan for life now. I get made fun of constantly for drawers.
Listen, pull up your draws. Anyway.
And you draw.
And I draw. I'm all things draws.
What if you said I drawer?
I'm a drawer.
So you go out, you buy a mansion for $500 a month in LA.
Yes.
Would you start tagging out there?
So I was like, I'm not doing graffiti. I did a few spots here and there.
Did it take a couple drinks? Like, you know how when someone's like, I only smoke when I drink? Were you like, I only tag when I'm drinking?
No. I had to be like sober and like aware of my situations. I was putting myself in danger from so many different angles that I didn't want to be a sloppy drunk.
Sure.
Though I have many a time been drunk writing graffiti. Sure.
Yeah. But, that was the original drunk text.
But when I...
You just put it on a billboard.
Right. When I was serious, I was like, no, I have to like have my wits about me. Yeah. So in Los Angeles, a good friend of mine, Sophie Durakoff, shout out to Sophie. I said, I need a job. What am I going to do? I need to get an apartment. I need to move out of my friend's hat lake.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, why don't you be an assistant stylist with me? And she's like, it's so easy. She's British. It's so easy, darling. All we're going to do is steam clothes and smoke ciggies. So Sophie really kind of put me on the path back to fashion.
Okay.
Because I had dropped out of FIT. My father was like, you're a grade suck. I'm not paying for school. I'm like, you know what? I'm working in clubs.
I'm
bye.
Out of here.
I'm
later.
Writing graffiti. Okay, bye, daddy. And I was bartending as well because nothing was really like paying the bill. Even though
sure.
I had 500, I still, you know. I'm
no,
still,
of course, you need
okay,
some money.
So yeah. I need some damn money. So, but the bartending, I was a nobody there. And bars closed at 2. It was just a totally different culture. People were driving. They weren't like getting
smashed
and drinking and wilding out. Like yeah,
yeah
right?
Dog.
You're like, okay, yeah, totally.
Right.
So I stayed out there a couple years, moved back to New York because I was like,
get bored fast.
I'm
out
a
there.
Motherfucking nobody here. Like, I got to go home.
Yeah.
And when I got home, I was like, I am not going to be an assistant stylist. I'm not taking any jobs like that. I'm a stylist. And and so I really began working on that and editorial and all this stuff.
Yep.
And then I met this young lady who was a graffiti artist who a lot of girls, and not all girls, but some, and I'm not going to say the majority, but a lot, sort of are a novelty in graffiti, and they say they're writers, but they're not really writers, and they sort of basking in the limelight. I don't want to diss women. A lot of people say, like, women don't do their stuff, whatever. Met this young lady. The internet was happening. There were graffiti forums everywhere. They're dissing my girl, right?
Yeah.
And saying she doesn't write her own stuff. She doesn't do her own thing.
What does that mean? Stencil or something?
Well, like some guy she's painting with is painting her stuff and she's just like there for the ride, right? She's just there for the fame. Like, hey, hook me up.
Gotcha.
Meanwhile, I'm so into that. Like, anybody who wants to paint my name, I'll give you a tutorial. Go crazy.
All right, you can show me later. I know a couple cars we can do.
So she began to work for me as my assistant. We spent a lot of time together, and she was like, I have paint in my car. And I'm like, dude, that's for you kid, you crazy kids. I'm like, I'm a stylist, I'm a fashion editor, I'm trying to do my damn thing over here. Like, I'm all serious with my shit. And yes, I was lubricated with alcohol.
Shit.
And she's like, come on. And I was like, okay.
Just one line.
And I tagged right over here on 5th Street and Avenue C. And I wrote, I did a claw and I wrote, I'm back.
Whoa.
And the internet was aflame.
You're kidding me.
Claw's back. I'm so happy. Oh my God. This made my day. Oh my God. Claw, 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 claw. And.
Wow. You went into the closet and you hit the button.
But the lawsuit
came out.
But I also felt like, you know, if people are going to try to tear this young woman down, I'm going to like dispel this
sure.
myth.
Yeah.
And what are they going to say when two women are writing?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it became this like feminist assertion, this like sisterhood in action.
Sure.
Kind of.
Yeah.
It was a very special time. And from that, with all my fashion stuff, hey, I really like to have like a claw t-shirt for my brand. And
yeah.
I think you could
do
like
a
claw on my blah, blah, blah. And so I started my brand.
Yeah.
I woke up one day, I had this idea that no one else had. I was like, I should do a claw on a t-shirt. Like,
a claw on a t-shirt. You're like, what if a long sleeve shirt had short sleeves?
Who is this genius?
Wow.
Coming up with these ideas.
That's it. You fell off the toilet.
Totally.
And you thought of the flux capacitor.
So I started my brand in 2002, and here we are 17 years later.
Going on
18 years.
So how do you even go about starting that? You just like found a friend that had a screen print?
Right. I just made a t-shirt.
Made a t-shirt.
And
for one person, and then you're like...
I had friends that had stores. I was... From my styling, excuse me. I'll start at the top. I had friends who had stores.
You had friends.
I was supplying them with interesting vintage eyewear and all these like little boutiques.
Cool.
My little side hustle for my styling. I would resell a lot of the vintage stuff I would use in shoots, stuff I would wear, but kind of keep it moving.
Yeah.
And I put 5 t-shirts in and they called me the next day, we need more. And then,
wow.
Can you make these for guys? Can you make them in black? And then all of a sudden, I sort of had a business.
Yeah. And it was yours.
And it was mine. And
you weren't an assistant.
I wasn't an assistant.
You said when you left British.
Right.
Lady.
L.A.
L.A.
Right.
Well, British.
When I left Britain.
She was a British
lady. When I left England.
The cheeky old whatever, cigarette-smoking city lady.
The queen. When I left the queen. The queen mother.
It must have been such an amazing feeling to come back and, like, you wake up in the morning and you're like, everyone's stoked you're back. And they don't even know it's you.
Everyone's stoked I'm back. I'm writing graffiti. I'm making clothes.
Pretty kick-ass. How old?
Let's just...
At the time. I don't mean now.
I mean, but you can figure it out if you can do math. So, you know... I was like 15.
You were 20. You were early 20s. So I'm going to say you were like maybe 25 to 27 when all this was going on. Am I close?
Sure.
is that rude? I just want to know.
No. What's rude is that I am grappling with my own like mortality. But whatever.
We all are.
Let's not talk about it anymore. Okay.
In
you asked me if I don't want to talk about anything. This is what I don't want to talk about.
Did I ask you? I'm turning 40 in October, and I think I had a midlife. I think I'm in the midst of a serious existential. Like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of hate everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really need to do X to feel better. And then I'm like, but what's the point now? I'm 40.
Totally.
But 40's nothing.
Plastic's just going to come in and wash us all away anyway.
That's it.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
We're on a fucking ball spinning in nothing. None of this matters.
Totally.
Absolutely nothing matters.
Are you going to Area 51?
I am Area 51. They're coming to me.
Free me.
Take me away. No, it's that weird. I know. I don't know. But it's so nice that, like, I mean, did you think, like, this was behind me? My art's behind me? And then you realize, like...
Well, it was like...
How cool that...
It wasn't art. When I was writing graffiti, I was a fucking vandal. I was, like sort of actuating me. I was, like, me. It was the art of me,
yep.
Right? And then my second wave, after not painting for, you know, 4 or 5 years, I was like, this is for us, and this is for women.
Right. Yeah, no, that's cool.
So I started making clothes, and then...
Boutique
you know,
shops, like, to start?
Right, boutique shops.
Little down
right,
here, right. Soho type stuff.
And then people really started noticing, and I had book publishers after me. I came out with my first book in 2007.
What was the book titled?
Bombshell, The Life and Crimes of Claw Money. Come on, get up on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it? Do you have an audiobook?
It's a visual. It's a visual art book, darling.
What would an audiobook version of a visual book
be?
Would you be like,
boop.
Ooh, nice.
Totally.
You just hear blinks.
Yes.
Like that ASMR. Do you ever listen to that stuff?
No, I can't.
Do you know what it is?
I do.
It's like a weird Russian teenage girl like folding. Like blankets.
Crinkle.
And
I thought it's like
things.
Crinkling.
There's some that like where they take a brush and they like rub their hand.
I would literally hate
over
that.
That.
I think
that
it would be
me,
so
like,
stressful.
I feel like someone's behind me.
Right.
I can't. Yeah. There's somewhere like they read to you in like a foreign language and shit like that.
I don't like that.
No, I don't either.
I want to know. I want knowledge. I want to like suck in knowledge. I don't want just like ambient sounds.
Yeah, no.
Unless it really is like relaxing. Unless they're like, it's a guaranteed science where like I'm like, oh, I'm going to listen to this brush thing and go to sleep because it's going to really like bring me to like the place I need to be.
Yeah.
But I don't want to just have to like be sitting there like, why the fuck am I listening
why
to
Why am
this?
I listening
yeah,
to
I,
someone
I can't,
open mail?
Right. I can't really get into
no,
it.
No, and they go like this. They go, I'm in this ear. And then they go, and now I'm over here. And it's like this weird, like you have
Isn't that podcast?
It's basically, yeah, that's all I do. I just listen to your podcast when I go to sleep. But I'm also like, why the fuck do I want to go to sleep with like Beats headphones on? Do you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Who's comfortable? I listen to audiobooks about music and about a music that I love.
Did you listen to the Beastie Boys audiobook?
Holy shit,
it's
it was
so
the greatest
good.
Thing in the
so
world.
So good, right?
The greatest.
I know.
And the whole concept of it, very Monty Python in a way where
totally.
It's like, you know, they'd pop in and like go, well, that's not really how it happened. And they had all these like New York icons.
They had New York icons narrating it. It was so well done.
Yeah,
awesome.
I talked about it a bunch on this. And I went to the show at King's Theater in Brooklyn and saw the live Beastie show. Wasn't that great?
Mm.
I love them so much. But I felt like they were trying too hard to be.
Their boy's gone. Like, it's like a third.
It wasn't a concert. It wasn't a concert.
It's
it was
still...
them reading. It was like them doing like a. I think they were trying to film a Netflix thing, like a Netflix special.
I'm sure.
But it was just like it didn't feel right. It felt very forced and it felt very not them, you know? But I hold the Beastie Boys in a, like they're in a world way above most other art, you know?
You know, I grapple with how I feel about them because I think that they like open the floodgates of like... You know, frat boy misogyny, like, you know what I mean? And I listened to it and I liked it and I like jammed out to it and all that kind of stuff. But when I look at like the social implications of the way that sort of like they were like the voice of all the
Fight
teenagers.
For Your Right to Party and Girls and all those songs.
Right. And then, you know,
basically the
then
whole
they changed. They
Ill.
Evolved. You know what? I need to let them evolve.
You,
and I need to
you,
forgive them.
You know what I really do have to I was going to ask you because there's even like in the book, there's a chapter written by a woman that was once in the band.
Yes. Kate.
And she talks about how like and they admit it and they apologize and they you know,
that's
dedicated.
Just how it is. The girl always gets tossed to the
but
side.
But let me ask you
like...
a question. Okay, like as a guy now in the world who was raised by women and who respect, I have to tell you, I think that pretty much most of my opportunities in life and most of my lessons came from women. My advisor in college was a black woman who was a playwright. And I think she's one of the most brilliant. I was going to quit college and I didn't because of her. And I ended up like getting published my senior year and all this like
you heard
amazing...
it here first women
I don't
you love women
yeah oh totally but I never had that like that side of things where it's like
right,
this broad over
for...
here I never had that
but
I never
but like societally we did
I tried to have sex with women that I
of course
I,
as you right as
and
as,
women tried to have sex yeah, yeah it wasn't I'm not saying it was like I'm some angel but my point is this
that,
is like,
I'm not but why is that even a bad thing
I'm not
right
to the
like,
Beasties at the time
mm-hmm.
I wonder what I'm saying is I kind of wonder if that like frat boy anthem would have just been someone else would have done it.
Totally.
And
I think
like,
they
I think
were,
maybe
they...
it was going on before them. Movies like, you know, Revenge of the Nerds, Meatballs, like all that like kind of
Animal
House, Animal
House, Porky's,
yeah.
Sure.
It was
all
like all kind of
added into
panty raid type shit, you know.
But it was all the same shit and it's this like media the Hollywood effect.
Sure.
Of, like...
Sure. I think now, you know, it's kind of funny. I go to lots of concerts. I'm a big Fish fan and a Grateful Dead fan. And recently there's been a lot of, I guess, a
the
lot
Dead
of...
The Dead were just here.
Yeah, did you go?
No.
Do you?
Sorry, I listen to hip-hop.
Do you?
Gangster rap. I only listen to gangster rap and...
Only?
Bluegrass. No, I listen to everything.
Bluegrass and... That's pretty... I like that.
Yeah.
Is I guess, like, lately there's been quite a bit of, like, handsy... stuff going on at concerts where there's been like dudes running around grabbing
there
heinies.
Always were but nobody talked about it because it was just the way it fucking was and you couldn't say anything shit is there's
really
always predators out there
yeah
you know but it was sort of like you couldn't say anything before and now you can.
I got into one fight in my life and it was in college and it was I got the fucking shit kicked out of me by a bouncer at a bar at UConn, University of Connecticut, because a guy was slapping his girlfriend in the parking lot, and I went over and I decked him, and the bouncer saw me hit the guy, and then came running over, and like with a full head of steam, caught me in the ribs and tossed me over one car and onto another, and while I was
you
in
were
the
like
air,
the bagel boy,
while,
the, ba- the, the bagel boss.
And while I was in the air, the girl goes, no, he was helping. And he, the guy's like, sorry. And I'm like, it's all good.
He didn't like run and catch you and
landed on a Jeep Wrangler.
Oh, no.
And I had a, like a purple and yeah. God, it was brutal. But that was just.
That's what you get I grew up with mom.
I grew up with a great mom, great grandmother, great sisters, friends. I just, it bothers me that there's even that type of, you know, but I guess it is what it is. And now what? So the Beasties, you know, like they, in their live show, they address it.
I know. So they have to like pander to like the new world.
You think it's pandering?
I think that they genuinely like feel bad.
So do you accept their apology or is it pandering?
I don't know.
Or is it like...
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how I feel about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I think about the past, like, I mean, did you do things in the past that you're not, like...
It's proud of? Sure.
Yeah. And
of
if
course.
You apologize for it, do you want the world to be like...
But did I have that effect on society?
But if
in
you
a
did,
massive,
did, like,
in a massive way, did I? Am I responsible for, like, this, like, wave of thinking? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
so let me ask you... All right, so let's make this analogy.
I mean, I'm also, like, you know, I also feel like this about Jay-Z and had this discussion with Clark Kent on my podcast that, like, he's, like, number one misogynist... Even though he's like, he's the best of all time. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So.
Well, like, look, if I invented pesticide and I knew that it killed, gave people cancer.
Right.
And I put it out there anyway for my gain.
Roundup.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. See the commercials lately at 4 a.m. when you can't sleep? That's what's on. If you get cancer by Roundup, call this lawyer and
totally.
You can get it, you know.
Talcum powder, too.
Everything.
A lot. Okay.
I mean, fucking
totally.
Everything.
Right.
You know, it's all over. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, if I put that out knowingly, if I did something knowingly to hurt someone and for my gain, whether it's grabbing an ass or calling someone something or putting pesticide, whatever, if I did it knowingly and I knew I was hurting someone, I think that's one column where
mm-hmm.
you're like, you're a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you were
a dumb kid
and you made a song called Girls and it was, you know,
such a good song,
such a fucking good song.
I know.
But you didn't think of it as... Like, oh, man, like, I hope that, you know, like, is there
they're
a girl
out there?
They're
not solely responsible. The world was like that. They were young.
So
they're evolving.
They're not making pesticide. That's my point. I think there are people who are making pesticides, like making societal pesticide.
Right. And they're keeping it going. Right. They don't realize.
And they're doing
like,
it to hurt people. And they're doing it to put people down, especially in this Trump era and
mm-hmm,
all that. There's
mm-hmm.
a that shit's running rampant right now.
Totally.
And at concerts to hear that, like. Someone, I was recently at a concert, a Phish concert, and I walked by the security guard who was a female, and I was like, everyone's dancing around having a good time, whatever. And I like put my hand on her back and went, excuse me. And she goes, don't you fucking touch me. And I never in a million years would have, I didn't mean it in
right.
any way, but I was like, whoa, like, yeah, okay, like, this is where we're at
but
now.
What if
like,
she
maybe
had,
she's
but
been.
What if she had a bad day?
That's
and
what
if,
I'm saying.
Okay, so
I'm
what if it was just.
I didn't go fuck you. I was like, wow, I'm sorry.
Right.
I took it in and was like,
yes.
Yeah, that's where we're
that's
at now.
That's what you have to do.
So they just did it on a much larger. They touched the back of 10 million people. I mean, but they apologized. I mean, I give them credit for that.
Yeah.
I mean, they, if you read the book and listen to what they've said,
They are so sad and so sorry about it.
Yeah, and like even the lines and some of the, like the disrespect of women has got to be through to all the mothers and the sisters and the wives and friends. I want to offer my love and respect till the end.
Pandering.
So there's no winning. If you're a guy, you're fucked, basically, huh?
No, I don't.
If you did
think
something
so.
Wrong and you want to like apologize,
I'm
pandering
it's,
or it's too late.
It's me. I'm just you know I hold on to stuff. I have like.
Is it because it's hot out today?
Maybe
and your knee hurts.
Maybe and maybe if we were like here, like vibing, I would feel differently.
Are we
and
not
I'd,
vibe?
No, we're vibing, but I mean the Beastie Boys.
I wish the Beastie Boys were here. That'd be pretty, and that wouldn't be the question I'd be asking them.
I'd be like, okay, maybe I see. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
I have blockers on, and I'm like, fuck you.
I
like to be angry.
I think that's pesticide.
Yeah, it may be.
We got to take those blinders off.
We got to take those blinders off and let the love flow in.
Got to let the love flow.
Bring me fish
what do you
right
think
now.
About, what do you think about New York now versus when you... is there any other place in the world for you? Or do you just love it so much?
Well, I often think like, oh, I should leave. It's so fucking expensive. I have a store on Delancey and Ludlow.
Mm-hmm.
Been there 5 years.
Wow. Rent must be high.
Yeah. Shit is tough out there for mom and pop shop.
Who's there now running the shop?
Shout out to Bill.
Bill.
And Alicia.
Alicia. Alicia. Two employees.
Yeah, yeah. They're down working hard. But you know, I have to be downtown, like New York. Like, where am I gonna go? And really, when you boil it down, New York may suck, but it's still the best place in the whole goddamn world.
There's
so many awesome things about New York.
New York's like a dog that like eats your shoes, but you look at the dog and you're like, you're so fucking cute.
You're so cute. I don't care about those shoes.
I'll get other shoes.
Even though those were my favorite, you fucking little dog.
They don't make them anymore. They were my grandfather's. Yeah, this place is so weird and gross. But you know what it was? Like, I went to Denver, and I couldn't do it. At the landlocked thing, sunny every day.
Mushrooms.
Yeah, I mean, really? Do I need to see God all the time? No, it was cool, but it just wasn't New York. There's just something about this piece of shit place that's just so beautiful. You know what I mean?
Well, it's a... The city, like, treats everyone equally. The city.
That's that's a great point.
Right?
Yeah, like, you're not special. The blackout affected everybody.
Right. They're warning for a blackout this weekend. Right.
Yeah, I'm going to be out of town.
Smart.
I emptied my refrigerator because I didn't want it to, you know, thaw.
You don't want to come home to soggy, rotten chicken.
No, I don't want fucking rats and roaches and shit.
Oh, why? If you leave it closed, it can like last up to like, I think like 23 hours or something.
I'm going for like 4 days.
Yeah, you need to empty your refrigerator.
That's what I did.
Totally.
You got to do it in this. And I mean, it's...
You must have... I mean,
I have a great place. I've never seen a bug, so I'm okay. But I'm...
Well, I have like a kid and a husband. And like, if I had to empty my refrigerator, I'd have to like be eating nonstop for like 2 weeks. Because my like freezer is like full of crap.
Just stop.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's going to be 100 degrees this weekend. Last weekend, because this is coming out...
Barbecue at my house.
BBQ at your house. Well,
hope everybody likes frozen peas.
So you've had one to sit on, one to cook. You've had some famous celebrities that have loved your stuff, huh? Hasn't some?
You know, I'm a person. I'm a woman of the people.
Will you run for office?
Make clothes for everybody, not just celebrities.
But wasn't there? You know, I'm trying to share some cool
come
stories.
Come on, yeah, yeah.
The clothing line not Club even Money has a celebrity following that includes M.I.A.
Oh my God,
Kanye West,
my number one girl, my number one boy,
Krayshawn.
Yes. Do you know who Krayshawn is?
No. Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. I know who she is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did they come into your store, or did they?
No, they send their minions.
Social media stuff.
No, I mean, I think like this was. You know, people have stylists. People have stylists, and they send their stylist over, or we make things special for them with their stylist.
You designed Britney Spears' clothing for Super Bowl.
I didn't design Britney Spears' clothing.
Well, this is your press kit.
It is not my press kit. This is from something else. I don't know what this is from, but I did make her clothes for that Super Bowl. I did not design them. My boys designed them. Kurt and Bart, shout out to you.
Kurt and Bart, K&B. They designed today's Mike Fenoia.
Yeah. So, I just worked on Ocean's 8 with Rihanna, doing her, like, visual identity for her character. And my claw was, like, in all the press photos for the movie. And we make a lot of high-profile things, but we also make them for everybody.
I have to tie it into the Grateful Dead or Fish or something somehow. And wasn't your claw appeared in the Grateful Dead logo somewhere? Steal your face? You know, the skeleton with the lightning bolt?
I have made a Grateful Dead t-shirt with a claw on it.
You have?
But
where is
no
it?
Longer. It is on people's backs that are not celebrities, that are just regular, like, I know you, I can see you're, like, shedding a tear.
I want one.
I mean, you missed the boat.
Is it too late? You still have that.
I don't have. We have. I'll just stamp it right.
K&B, make me one. You're fucking awesome. I'm glad. Can we be? Are we friends now?
We can be friends. So how? So you know, a lot of people are like, you need to go into comedy. A lot of my friends that are like, you know what? I would just obliterate everyone.
Yeah, we're not hiring right now.
But I don't even understand. Like, I'm a naturally funny person. Naturally. Right? Right?
Yeah, you're great. You're comfortable.
But I can't imagine, like, scripting a set of jokes. And I don't even know, like, how do you even, like, start thinking about something like that? Like, is it something that, like, is on your mind? You're like, oh, the Grateful Dead. This is really funny that something that happened. And then you, like, build
First of all, you know, pandering. Can we talk? Can we lose the fucking Connecticut fake accent? Let's talk about my boat shoes.
It's my Long Island Jap.
No, I'm
accent.
Joking. I'm totally right. joking. First off, I will say, one of my friends who's been doing it 10 years longer than me said it perfect, that every comic is trying to be as funny as we were the day before we started doing comedy. The minute this becomes
a job,
it's fucking hard.
Yeah, because then you're like,
it's really hard,
right?
Because
I'm like the same as you. I'm like, I'm better, like,
and I'm trying to, like, I always try to put things into, like, analogies or perspective that mm-hmm. like whoever I'm talking to can, like, maybe internalize better. But sometimes it depends on the venue, and it depends on your part in a show.
And so who's fucking coming to these goddamn comedy shows?
I mean, I perform at the Comedy Cellar all the time. It's sold out every night.
Where's that?
A Third and McDougal in the West Village.
Oh.
Cafe Wa, you know, like, where everything started musically.
So
the owner of the cellar is the son of the guy that, like, auditioned Bob Dylan to, like, play at, like, the Village Gate and all those places. You know what
so
I mean?
So I did one comedy thing once. Sypha Sounds.
Sypha. I love him.
We love him. He's the booby. He's
the
bub. So he was doing this thing with his, like, sketch comedy troupe where I had to tell a story of something that happened to me. And then they acted it out, and it was really funny.
He's kick-ass.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
such a talented guy. His story actually on my...
But all these people are like, you should be in comedy. You should be doing... And I was like, go to my fucking Instagram, okay? You want jokes? 101 Delancey. I'm there. You know, I usually leave around 5.
Doors closed. Gotta roll.
No more jokes.
wait, like, to answer your question, though, it is very, like, you asked me, like, how do you do... I don't know. It's like, when I started it, like, the first time I did it, I was like, oh, this is, like, what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's like, this is why I felt off by 2 degrees my whole life until I was able to be like... So these things I'm thinking all day are jokes, and I'm supposed to deliver them in front of a crowd. You know what I mean? So it's
I make it into a meme.
Yeah, well, you know what? Fuck memes, because you're killing comedy.
Can't you do it hand in hand? Yes, I totally agree with that.
I mean, because now it's someone sits at home on their fucking toilet and looks at a meme and goes, ah, cool. And then they don't have to go to the comedy club. You know what I mean? Now I'm, but what am I doing?
Because I'm just thinking, like, okay, for me, I don't want to go to a comedy club.
Then we don't want you there.
I know. Who the fuck goes to comedy clubs?
A lot of people. Comedy's an art. Are you saying that it doesn't deserve a crowd?
Of course it does. I'm just wondering, how do you find your audience? Like, and how does your audience find you? And they're like, I'm going to this club because
reason why comics gravitate towards New York and LA is because these clubs have the Comedy Store, Mitzi Shore, you know, like the legacy behind it, the Comedy Cellar, and you know, the bookers there and the people that go there. That's our gym. That's our
right.
It's jazz in the 50s. Like, we're down in a basement, you know, like, playing our soul trumpet, man. You know, we're just telling our jokes and doing our thing.
So
the
vulnerable.
Right now,
vulnerable, right? Okay.
I mean, and it gets to a point where it's like, I'm sick and tired of telling jokes about, you know, whatever, Instagram or whatever bullshit, vaping. And then you go, I really want to talk about how I have a hole in my heart because I thought my parents didn't love me, or the abortion that a girlfriend had that I didn't want her to have, or a this or a that, or my fears or my. And then it's like, how do I turn sad into happy and make jokes about it? But nowadays it's so tough because people are so touchy and, like,
it's too PC.
It's so fucking ridiculous.
It's so
annoying.
It's liberals
brutal.
Have lost all their sense of humor.
Yeah, I use an example of a joke I wrote that's a very... I had to put my dog down, and it was the hardest thing in the world. I loved her so much, but I had to put my dog down because she was kneeling during the anthem and not in my house, you know? And it's just a dumb way to get into more material, but that was an example of people like, oh, you're for, like, hurting animals? And it's like, no, you boob. Like, didn't you just hear me say, like, it's my... Like I'm, you paid to see me. Like,
right. I'm making a joke about something that is very painful that I'm trying to like make myself feel better about.
So like a meme can't do that, in my opinion. You know what I mean? So that's where it's like, just come to the comedy club and listen to me talk about how I'm scared that I'm not a good husband, or how I'm afraid that, you know, like am I doing, I don't know what happens after we die. That's the shit I like, the existentialist weird shit, and I try to make that funny, and some people like it, some don't, but that's okay.
Okay.
I think if you were making clothes for, you know, like your shit is so unique and so different, but it's for anybody that wants it.
Right.
But you're not going to make stuff for people to want. You're going to make your thing, and the people that like it keep wearing it. You get what I'm saying?
They should all want it.
Yeah, well, everybody should want me too.
Yeah.
Maybe I should start wearing your shirts.
Wake the fuck up. People, okay? We're right here.
I really like you. I'm glad we met.
Yeah,
me
too.
Tell everybody where they can find you one more time on social media and the store and everything.
I'm at Claw Money on Instagram, one word. Our store is at Claw & Co. It is very funny, our store Instagram. We're really into jokes.
Cool.
You can find me on the interwebs at clawandco.com, and in real life, on the corner of Ludlow and Delancey here in beautiful downtown New York City in the Lower East Side.
Lower East Side.
Yes.
It's not Soho. It's the Lower East Side.
It's the Lower.
How do you decide that?
South of Houston.
South of Houston, but isn't...
But it's more west.
More west. Because the Lower East Side is south of Houston, too.
Right, but the East Village... So Soho abuts the East Village, and the East Village abuts... The Lower East Side. It's more vast, the Lower East Side.
Isn't there a new one, too? Like Nolita? Is that new?
That's not new. That's been around since the 80s.
What is it? Northern?
I make them up all the time. Yeah. I was making one up about where I do my podcast, which is sort of a block below...
What's your podcast? Tell everybody.
Oh, my God, my podcast. Gold Mines.
Gold Mines.
We're on iTunes. We're on Google Play.
I want to come on it.
All your podcatchers... Catch it.
Catch
Gold pop. Mines with an S. Claudia Gould.
Gould.
You know, of the Connecticut Girls.
I have NoCa, which is North of Caroline's, because that's a comedy club in like 49th and or 50th and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
So anything north of there, I call NoCa.
Oh, that's good. Well, where I do my podcast is Canal. It's like Canal Street, where Chinatown meets Tribeca,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what to call it, so I call it
Tribeca.
Trinatown.
Trinatown. That's great.
I'm like, come down to Trinatown.
Trinatown. Thanks for hanging.
Yeah, yeah. And
thank
for
you, everybody, for listening. Be sure to check out Claw's podcast, and as always, at Amigos Pod, at Mike Fenoia, Finoia, MikeFenoia.com for comedy dates, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Peace.
Adios, amigos!